Welcome to Innovation in Your Ears. This series follows the founders and businesses on the Level Up Accelerator program. I'm Charlie.
I'm Olu, and today you're going to hear from Mark at Sponsor about his journey, the business, and what's next for them.
So my name's Mark Makin. I'm the founder and director of technology startup Sponsor. In short, we intend to deliver what will be the auto trader of the sponsorship world. So giving a platform for every rights holder to advertise and promote sponsorship opportunities, whilst then enabling brands, whether that's an SME or a global or a national organisation, to search for opportunities to sponsor. In addition to that, we then intend to deliver a platform where consumers can then learn more about the clubs that they're interested in.
So Mark, tell us, how have we got here? You're 3 years into the business, or more or less. Talks about that process over the last 3 years. How has it been?
You know what's really interesting? It still feels like it's been 3 months. I remember sat on, you know, I do tell a story quite a lot about the way I came up with this idea. And when I kind of fast forward through to now, in short, I don't actually know how we've got to this point. But the way we came up with the idea, I remember I was working at Auto Trader at the time. One of the guys in my team came in and said, our main sponsor's pulled the plug. I'm no longer going to get paid for playing as a semi-professional footballer. So I just kind of set off. I'd always had this aspiration to get into football. And you know when people talk about find your passion? I was like, football's my passion. I need to find this one thing. So I set off and I managed to connect a local business with a local football club. As I was going through the motions, I just pretty much identified that the process was really inefficient. And then I set off researching thousands of websites across football, rugby, even individual athletes such as boxers and mixed martial artists through to motorsport drivers. And I identified that there was just a lack of transparency if I was a business owner around what I actually could sponsor and who I could connect with as part of that audience. I then set off and developed a platform, and it was during the first lockdown. So for 4 months, all of my team had been furloughed, and I had a little bit of time on my hands. So I was hammering through WordPress, thought I was a bit of a genius building this platform out. But we then went live, and I approached a couple of local football clubs. I got them advertising their assets. I've actually got a video of me running around Chester Football Club Stadium, doing a selfie video shouting, wow, I'm living the dream. Because I thought that, you know, having an opportunity to go into a football stadium and take pictures of their assets, such as the perimeter boards and the stadium and the front of shirt sponsor and the sleeve sponsor and all of that, and publishing them onto what was my website for the first time, it was such a proud moment that, wow, I've done something in football. From there through to now, those first 3 months were like a roller coaster. I then met my business partners, had to go for this dragon's den approach where, it was locked down, so it was a Teams call. But I didn't know that there was going to be 7 or 8 people on this call sat around a table all staring at me. I thought it was just going to be 2 or 3 key stakeholders. Delivered the pitch, delivered the vision in terms of where I think this could be. And I'll never forget, I won't use names, but I'll never forget what one person said. He said it directly to my business partner now, John, great idea, back him. That was it. That was all that got said. From there, we've just been just really, really deep in development and research with my business partners, John and Mike. So John Glenan, who's the CEO of Cat Ventus and Glue, and Mike Hawks, who's the CTO of Cat Ventus and Glue. They are now part of the board of directors for Sponsor. And between the three of us, we've got a really good dynamic with the way we're hoping to take everything to market later this year.
Yeah, well, it sounds like there's a really good team behind you with obviously a wealth of experience. I'm intrigued, what was it they saw in the vision? What specifics were there that kind of made them want to back you and back the idea?
Yeah, I love that question. The one thing that John has always said to me, he always remembers that call and always remembers as soon as I started talking about data and insight and how to use data and insight to help people make more educated decisions, he said in that moment I knew that we wanted to be a part of this journey. On top of that, I don't know if it sounds like you're bigging yourself up, but he continues today to talk around, you know, how I've inspired him and inspired the way he thinks and the way he approaches situations. In short, just thinks I'm a good guy, which is nice. You know, when you approach someone like John for the first time, he's such an inspiration himself. So to be on the receiving end of some really good feedback and compliments for him after us maybe speaking once or twice was really, really good. But yeah, I've got an incredible relationship with both John and Mike now.
And so important as well to have investors and partners and you know, key stakeholders involved that really understand you and like the way that you work as well as the business. Because yeah, you know, you hear horror stories all the time and the challenging relationship business owners can have with investors and partners, and I think
100%.
I think the fact you've got that relationship is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's probably be one of the lucky few in a way, but worth fighting for that position.
Yeah, and you know what? It's not come without its challenges. You know, I don't want to give off the impression that for anyone who's, you know, aspiring to launch a business and take on business partners and go through that process. You know, I'm sure both John and Mike won't mind me talking around this, but we took a number of months just to figure each other out. You know, I'm in my own kind of style. I lead with empathy. I like to be authentic. I like to speak my mind. You know, there's been times in the past where sometimes I'll just sit on something and not talk. But what both Mike and John have been incredible for me is and incredible for me as an individual is that they've gave me the platform to always express myself in the right way. But in the first couple of months, sometimes the way I would express or John would, there'd be a little bit of not a clash, that's quite strong, but there would just be differences of opinion.
Yeah, of course.
But again, I'm so incredibly grateful to have gone through that process. Us all know that even though we were challenging one another, between the three of us, it was all coming from the right place. It was so, so fundamentally important that we nailed that from the word go, that we have to challenge, we have to be open, we have to be honest. But yeah, there was some difficult times, but flying colours, we got through them, and yeah, we're in a really good place now.
No, what do you think they would say in terms of your more difficult traits, perhaps, and areas that you've worked on and probably still work on?
Yeah, wow, what a question. They would probably say that, I guess if I'm really clear on what I'm not good at versus what I am good at, and I've for so many years, I even encourage people that I speak to, even when I was, you know, in a position of leadership in Auto Trader, know what your weaknesses are and create forced behaviours for them, but over index on your strengths. So there's been certain moments that we've had. Again, it was more, you know, the first probably 6 months or so, where there was an expectation for me to be doing things that weren't aligned to what my strengths were, and that's just what we had to figure out. So it wasn't that I was difficult, I was just really candid about this isn't for me, this is for me, and for us to succeed, this is what we have to do to enable me to be the best version of me, for you and you to be the best version of you, to collectively be the best version of us. And yeah, like I say, it took a little bit of working out, but it's... they would probably say that, you know, I'm not shy to come forward with an opinion, I guess, yeah, but in the right way.
And where does that all come from? I mean, growing up, for example, as a kid, were you always a bit entrepreneurial? Were you the naughty boy? Were you studious and well behaved?
Yeah. It's actually interesting, you know, because as a, I'm seeing it now on my 5 year old that he's got certain behaviours that I had as a kid. You know, I always remembered, you know, my dad and my mum or you know, my stepmom. You've always got an answer for everything. There's always a but, there's always something behind it. But to be honest, you know, growing up, I was more, I'd have a bit of fun and stuff. You know, I'd get told to stop chatting in the classroom and things like that. But I probably was a hell of a lot quieter during my younger years in school and things compared to what I am now. I probably found my voice after I left school, as opposed to during my time in school. But that said, you know, I always look back now, I used to be really fast as a kid, sprinting. So people would pay me a couple of quid to get to the front of the class. So when the bell rang, I would sprint across the grass to get to the front of the tuck shop to buy a couple of sausage rolls or whatever. But I'd bank a profit every time I'd done that. So yeah, I always thought I've got something in me from wanting to do things or figuring out how you can make money as a kid. But yeah, you know, I guess I can't put a finger on when it was that I absolutely knew I wanted to do something for me, but I can't remember not feeling that way. So it's been in me for quite a long time.
And how long were you an auto trader before you decided to make this transition?
Yeah, so I was at Auto Trader for 7 years. I joined Auto Trader. I actually just wanted a foot in the door at Auto Trader. I've been in a recruitment space for quite some time prior to that. And I actually first took a job in Auto Trader as part of their website team. Of all things, just selling websites. It was so much fun. I was in a really small team. We had such a good crack. But as soon as I got a foot in the door, I absolutely knew that leadership was my passion and what I wanted to move into. And it worked out really well because when I joined Auto Trader, I think it was around 13 or 14 offices nationwide. And they'd rolled out a plan to transition into one head office in Manchester, one in London. My mindset at that point was just game on. When we're all in the same building, all together, that's where I have to just show an absolute relentless determination to make sure that I can position myself to be a future leader within a FTSE 100. I had a really the best manager I ever worked for. She used to always say to me, if you do right by people, you do right by you. I've often been challenged on that. Some people that you know think that's nonsense, and no, you've got to. Sometimes you can't be friends with your team and all of that stuff. I'm kind of on the opposite end of that spectrum where you can be friends with your team. You just need to lay out your boundaries from the word go. But I had two people in particular. I say one, it was two, stroke three, actually, thinking out loud, that were fundamentally important to, again, allowing me to express what I wanted to do, but then giving me the platform to go and deliver. And then put myself in a position where I could move into a leadership position. I moved through quite quickly, went from the website team to then an account manager. They needed me to prove that I could operate with independent retailers. So that could be a local car dealer right up to someone who would have 100 stock on site. And once I understood the market, because I hadn't been in automotive, it was then, okay, what can I do to motivate the team? But, you know, even today, a lot of people that I talk to from Auto Trader still say what was great about me moving into a position of leadership is that I'd done the role. I understood their challenges. I understand, you know, the pain points. And I'm huge on collaboration. So rather than allowing people to operate as one person to achieve their target, it was always about the collective for me. If one person won, that's great. But if we all win, that has to be fundamental to any team that, you know, I'm a leader.
Win together, lose together kind of mentality.
Yeah, sometimes it was a bit unfair. I'd have situations where operationally, you know, it was very operationally driven. So, you know, I had 100 metrics that I had to ensure that we were delivering on. Some of that would be greater service. It would be volume of calls. It would be your credit control and your revenue that you had to bring in on top of then having a sales target of which you had multiple products that you had to sell and you had to hit a certain penetration. And my teams were typically around 20 FTE. So it you can imagine having so many multiple metrics, but having so many brilliant skill sets, if one or two people would let the team down, I would magnify that. It could just be a simple case of not putting a note on an account. So I would purposely then, and as pedantic as it was, I would get the whole team in a room and talk and do a coaching session on how to leave a note on an account. It was painfully mundane for people, but it was my what I was really passionate about is let's not put each other in that situation. Let's make sure we're all doing it for one another. Because if you don't leave a note, the other person can't then see what's going on next. So, but yeah, flip side of that, you know, from a camaraderie point of view, I love nothing more than an underdog. I love nothing more than people having self-doubt and not believing that they can achieve something. So even the dynamics within my team where I had a sales team, a service team, credit control team, and a new business rep and onboarder, I was incredibly passionate about sharing the responsibility, so divide and conquer on workloads, so that if you had three people doing credit control rather than one person doing credit control, you get through the workload faster, which then gives them more time to focus on their own personal development and growth. So then maybe move into selling products so that when someone called in to pay a bill, you could identify why they were behind on the payment and things like that. So yeah, team over people, team results. But the team element of that is fundamentally important.
You obviously had tons of experience there. You're in a really good position. You had a team. You'd built a team around you. I'm really intrigued. So a major transition to leave that and, and embark on your own venture. And I know you had a young family at the time.
Yeah.
How did that work? What was the reaction at home when you said, I'm off, I'm going to do something new?
Yeah, so what probably not a lot of people know is genuinely for probably 15 years of my life, I've sat at home on a sofa or wherever, and I've always reflected on what is my skill set and why can't I think of a business idea? Everything that I've got experienced in, why can't I come up with something? I would brainstorm, I would write things down, I would Google stuff, I would try and copy what, but I couldn't land on something that I knew would enable me to make the plunge. Working at Auto Trader, genuinely and hand on heart, if it wasn't for the guy I spoke around earlier on coming into my team, saying his main sponsors pulled the plug, probably none of this would have happened. So I look at that moment and just in life in general, and it literally changed the course of everything that I've set off and done since. But yeah, where I got to was because I recognised that I had just something. I was in a really brilliant position in Auto Trader. The guy that I was reporting into at the time, again, he was a real big inspiration. He was so, so brilliant with the way he managed me and gave me the opportunity to express myself and grow the team, manage the team the way I wanted to. But he'd also been through the motions of going through running a company before and going through an exit and things like that. So when I kind of hit that crossroads of it's a now or never, I'd created something which I thought could be something that works versus I'm in such a secure, brilliant organisation. Yeah. When I had the conversation with him, it was just one of them things that I knew as soon as I opened my mouth and said, I'm thinking about doing this, I knew I was gone.
You'd ready to say.
I was ready to go. Yeah. I'd already decided. And that's not because I didn't feel like I hadn't achieved everything that I'd set out to achieve in Auto Trader. I just knew that there was something that I had to do for me, whether it failed or not, I had to do it.
Was it a case of not actually anything that he said, but more you saying it out loud to 100%. Him was almost that conversation over. That's all I needed.
Yeah,
was to say it out loud.
Yeah, it was. It very much was so. And you know, even having that conversation with my team that I was going to be taking the step and leaving Auto Trader. For some, some may have seen this coming. I've no idea, but for others, I know 100% they didn't see this coming a mile off. And, even today...
Maybe they were dying to get rid of you.
Probably. Well, that is 100% correct. I was known for really bad dad jokes and things. Obviously, as soon as you become a dad, you can get away with that. The lift joke, the other ups and downs, every day in the lift. But, that aside from that nonsense, like I say, Auto Trader was incredible for me. And where I've got a huge amount of appreciation about the journey that I went through at Auto Trader... I've seen firsthand the benefits of an organisation being a market leader within an industry sector by delivering a platform for everybody within the industry to advertise and promote something, to bring an audience to search for that advertising promoted stuff. Sponsors going to be no different to that for every football club, rugby club, cricket club, mixed martial artists, anyone in combat sports, motorsports, then events, music festivals, charitable organisations, pretty much anyone that has an asset to sponsor, we want to deliver that so you can advertise those assets on our site and we'll then bring the audience to search and interact.
Have you had that conversation yet? Or is that something for the future? But I just imagine it'd be awesome when it's fully live and got really good traction to see Auto Trader coming and using it then to reach audiences and engage with audiences.
Yeah, it would be incredible. Like I said, I've never it's not one that I expect, and I will never go hunting people to come and use the platform. I'm really big on I don't ever want to need to convince someone to do something. I want them to naturally want to do it because they see value in not just what I'm saying but what our team have delivered. It's really important because the team behind this, even though I'm kind of the face of it, the team are incredible. The one of the most intelligent, inspiring group of individuals collectively working together that I've ever been a part of. So I guess from our perspective, as sponsor and as the rest of the team, our audience to use this because we're delivering a huge amount of value, not because, you know, I've got connections to the likes of Auto Trader and things like that.
But it would be a good...
Oh, yeah, it would be amazing. Yeah,
coming of age almost.
Yeah, it really would, yeah. Like I said, I've got some really brilliant friends still in Auto Trader, and, you know, if I get to a point where they... I see one person's name with a user account for sponsor. It'll be a lot of fun. But yeah, maybe one day I can connect Auto Trader, I don't know, to the Olympics or something random, you know. Yeah. But yeah, like I said, I don't have an expectation on that. But yeah, it's an incredible organisation, and, you know, without shouting too much about them, I think if anyone is looking for a role in Manchester, it's a really, really great place to be.
And tell us a bit more about then sponsors. So obviously, 3-ish years in development so far.
Yeah.
Tell everyone a little bit, where are you today? What are the next steps in terms of getting it live? And what does the rest of this year look like?
The rest of the... It's interesting because this same point last year, we thought we were going to go live in 2022.
What happened?
Yeah, it's been the biggest challenge that we've had is because of the scale of what we're developing and the level of sophistication in what we're building out. As we start to develop one element, we recognise that there's another element that we can add value to, and then we've recognised there's another element, and then we've got to an outcome where we've said, I do see a lot of tech companies, there's 100% no right or wrong with this. I do see tech companies that will say, go out to market with your minimum viable product and then listen to your audience, grow and build. We have got a huge amount of determination to go out to market with something that is more than a minimum viable product. So because of that, it's just delayed things, and we just keep delaying. But yeah, my biggest challenge is that I've gone and spoke to, you know, I've sat in front of football clubs, told them that we were going to be ready in 2022. I've gone and pitched to different people, and what I'm incredibly grateful of are the people that are still being patient with us, that are happy to wait until we're ready. I think I get the view from, you know, once or twice, because I've kind of said something in the moment thinking that it would be ready for 2022. I've probably been judged against that, and that's been a really good learning curve, you know, going through the process as a new startup for the first time. But I'm at the same time, I'm grateful that maybe we have disappointed one or two people, and I mean that in the right way, because I'm now not doing that moving forward. I'm giving people the expectations, and I'm not engaging with people if I genuinely don't think the timing's right. But yeah,
I think that's really interesting, because you have gone out to market with not with a physical product, but
yeah,
you have gone out, you've been speaking to people, you've been shown how this would work,
yeah,
and actually you are building it around them. Mm-hmm. So you know, it kind of is an MVP in its own way.
Yeah,
and you've been building around that.
Yeah, it's a really first show. I guess it's it is, but we don't want to just go live with something where we miss an opportunity. You know, again, I won't go into the detail about what we've identified in our research and development over the past, what is now near 3 years. But we know what people's challenges are on scale across multiple sports and events and things like that. So because we know what the multiple challenges are and not a singular challenge, we're trying to add value to multiple things rather than one thing. So it's not a minimum viable product for one thing. It's going to hopefully be for multiple things.
And how confident are you that you've now got the I guess a spec for what you want to go live with?
Yeah.
Because presumably there's still going to be, you know, you don't know what you don't know.
100%.
Through this year.
Yeah.
You know, you endlessly there'll be new opportunities. At what point do you draw the line, and how do you decide on? You know, like for anyone listening, like how do you decide, at what point do you draw the line?
Yeah.
And say, okay, this now needs to get out.
I think if it was all my way, I'd be like, let's just launch now and let's just fix as we go. Okay, yeah. But that's I say that, but that's not through me not being patient. That's through pure excitement to take something out to market, because I feel like I know my audience really well now. Mm. I feel like I know what it is that we are going to do, quite, which will be really meaningful to so many different people. I don't talk about it a massive amount, but the flip side to that is, I'll answer this in two ways, and then I will tell you about what the rest of the year looks like. My biggest learning throughout the past 3 years is to over-index on the micro tasks per day. I preach so many times to so many people that are, you know, thinking about setting up a business, and people typically see the outcome of a business. You know, look at the likes of ChatGPT, for example, now. That's probably been 10 years of stuff. And then boom, it's an overnight success, and people see the overnight success. With our 3 years in, I'm so motivated by, even if it's one small task a day that we're doing or we're achieving or we're moving, you know, towards a launch, we're not competing against anybody. We're not racing against anybody. We're competing against just ourselves. So with that in mind, being patient for an extra couple of months, or even if it means being patient for another year, you know, I'm really fortunate that we're in a strong position with the way we're structured. We've got the time to do it. We don't have an unlimited fund of cash where we can keep pumping it in, etc. But we are in a position where, you know, we've got patience is fundamentally important to what we're doing. To answer the question about when we expect to now hit the market, we're confident that where we're at today, by the summertime, we should be able to have tested the platform and got a few people using it and things. But ultimately, this year will be around, let's define what it is that it does based on the way people use it. I'm really passionate around the whole hearts and minds of what we're going to do, because our audience could be really big with multiple characters and personalities that use the platform. You know, the whole brand strategy piece is critically important to me. But again, you can't just do a brand strategy overnight. That takes time, because you need to listen to what your customers are saying. But this year is more about, let's kind of start crawling. And then 2024 is when we can start getting up, start walking, and then getting into sprint. It's probably the easy way to put it. So I can't give anyone a launch date. I've still no idea, but we are confident that it will be this year.
Yeah. And do you have plans for growth in terms of the team, where you'll be based? Will it be, you know, I know a lot of companies now are looking at well, fully remote, but also hybrid structures.
Yeah.
Is it going to be UK-based, Wales-based?
Yeah. Again, really great question. So currently we're based out of the brilliant M-Spark, North Wales. We're based out of Dublin, which is where Cat Ventus head office is based. My aspirations are, I personally think next it's Manchester for us. Manchester or Liverpool as a city. I think both cities are incredibly vibrant. They've both got brilliant levels of skill sets that, you know, from a trying to attract brilliant talent, you know, we think those two cities in particular. But we've also been talking to people about, you know, is there an aspiration to maybe look at the likes of Leeds and Birmingham and Newcastle? And, you know, I said to you earlier on around, again, one of my biggest takeouts or learnings or experiences that I've had throughout this process, you're always one person away from something completely changing, or you're one conversation away from someone getting on board with your idea and becoming an advocate of you or backing you. And we've got one or two people at the moment that are proactively doing that work for us in terms of helping us identify what city we would be best setting up in next. So even though I've got, you know, personal preferences, it's only because of, you know, Liverpool's close to me because, you know, where family and things are from. Manchester, I operated in Manchester for so many years.
They're familiar, right?
Familiar, yeah. So it appeals to me massively. But like anything, and one thing I've, you know, experienced over the last 3 years again is listen to the views and opinions of others that have got more experience than you in terms of what can help you get the fastest outcome. So yeah, there's no set answer to that, but I think that kind of touches on what I'm thinking.
So, question I've asked everybody, and if resources weren't an issue, perhaps, or whatever the scenario, what's the next business?
You know what? I don't want to say it out loud in case someone nicks this. It's only because I fell into it the last couple of days. So, just a caveat: I've got a million ideas, but I purposely put them down. Because of the focus on
save them for later.
Save them for later. Yeah, who knows? You know, sponsor. I expect
save them for other budding entrepreneurs.
Yeah. So again, you know, I guess there's two things. One is an idea, but one is a kind of long term passion of mine. I hope that I'm fortunate enough in my future, in my career, that my full time business or full time role can be someone that invests into other entrepreneurs that are aspiring to launch a company. Obviously, that so you want to be an investor. Not. I don't want the title of that as an investor. I just want to go through the motions of being me 3 years ago in terms of on my own, didn't know where to turn to next, didn't even know what technology I could access, didn't even know about tech hubs like MSpark and a connection with the universities and then, you know, how you can get backing from different types of people. I'd love nothing more to identify, you know, future aspiring entrepreneurs in future.
And give them that leg up.
Give them or give them the platform for them to express themselves and push towards what they want to achieve, but just see around the corners for them that I've gone through. So that's kind of, if I could set up a business, if I had access to, you know, multiple investors and if sponsor wasn't a thing and I had access to multiple people that were investors and I could connect them to multiple people who want to launch a business, I'd love that role. It'd be a lot of fun. But that's only because I love seeing people grow. Whenever someone comes to me and says, I've got this idea, I'm all in. I'm literally all in. And I will sit and talk to someone for hours. You know, even just a really small story around, you know, a friend of mine, he's been wanting to do something for a couple of years. And the one thing I said to him, which I've not actually spoke around, actually, you know, people might be perceiving this, like I'm saying, it's easy to set up a company. And what I got myself in a position to do was to just financially be able to survive. So I took a big cut from my own salary expectation. I took a cut, but I built out what I had as an absolute robust 12-month plan so that I could give myself that 12 months. So again, the only reason I'm calling that out is that it's not easy to say, I've got an idea, let's just crack on. I can quit my job, go. But a friend of mine, he went through that same process of, he was cracking on with things for about 2 years, but he was working towards, now I'm in a position I can take the leap and go. People don't see that 2 years.
Yeah.
People just see the leap. So yeah, you know, that's the one thing I would say. But yeah, as another side idea, and if anyone's up for maybe talking about this, actually, I don't know, but I've been using ChatGPT to create short stories to read to my son for bed.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It's brilliant. It's so, so much fun. So what it's our routine is that we read a book every night, no matter what. I've obviously got my three-month-old now, so no doubt.
Everyone's going to go in and have a go at this now. Everyone who's listening is going to go and have a go at that.
So no word of a lie, right? So he had this thing when he was 3 or 4 years old, he created this character. It was quite frightening because it was so vivid the way he told the story, to a point where I believe that he was from some former life and then came into it. But he had this character called Blazerwing from Dragonland, who was his best friend. But he'd tell me stories about, you know, Blazerwing, we'd go and do this, me and Blazerwing would do that. And I'd be like, this is like near weird, you know, very, very odd that he's got this vivid imagination. So I punched into ChatGPT. Create a short story about a five-year-old called Isaac that has a best friend who's a dragon called Blazerwing, and he occasionally goes and visits Dragonland and has a lot of fun. Full stop, include adventures. It just, literally in 3 minutes, I had this full short story with all of these adventures. His eyes just lit up. Wow. And I've done that every night. So I've got an idea about building some form of platform related to parents being able to do that. So you can do it today, but I've got a lot of experience stuff that I think I could build into that as an idea. So yeah, for anyone who's listening who thinks that's really a stroke of genius, then connect me on LinkedIn.
And for anyone who's not familiar with chat GPT, how can they go and have a go at that?
Chat GPT, so it's an open AI product. Literally just type into Google, create an account, you put your username and create a username and password, and then just start typing. Literally just start typing. I don't want to spoil anything. If you've not used it before, just start typing. But I don't know how anyone's not seen it. It's
everywhere at the moment.
It's just everywhere. And I think I shared an opinion at an event I was at in Cardiff on Friday around and I've seen my view on it is that there's elements of, I won't say fear, but that element of, is it going to take jobs? Are people going to lose jobs because of AI and everything else? My view and opinion of this is digital and everything digital always goes through a transformation. This is just another part of that next step in digital transformation, in terms of it still needs the human interaction. So if you're a content creator, or you're trying to build, I don't know, code for something, or you're using it to get a legal document, or whatever you're using it for, it still needs validation of a human. I've already seen examples whereby people have used ChatGPT and published it as content, but it's really small details, such as it's American keyboard. Specialized will have a Z, not an S. I've seen it once or twice, and that's my way of differentiating quite quick. But it's also because I know the personality of the person, and sometimes it can be misaligned.
Just doesn't match, yeah.
But it doesn't matter, though, because there's no right or wrong, and everyone's testing and validating. But the I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you were going to adopt ChatGPT, just do it in a way which still makes it authentic to you and still requires human interaction. But it's pretty spectacular.
Yeah. There we are. Mark, you were talking quite a lot about your passion and interest to give back and to help others. And mm-hmm. I know you talked about the desire to give the people that platform in future.
Yeah.
What would you say to people now starting that journey, or thinking about starting that journey, that perhaps haven't got a really successful career in a larger company? So obviously you had some really amazing people around you already and mentors, etc. What if you haven't got that? What would you say to people? What would your advice be to them about getting started and moving through those first few phases of a business?
I think it's more broader than that. I said it earlier on, whether it's somebody that wants to start a business, whether it's somebody that wants to find a new career or a new job, whether it's somebody that is in a particular role and aspires to move into the next role or a different role, there's so many times when people see the outcome of something, or will sit and wait for something, for an opportunity to open up, and then they'll apply for that job, but they won't have done the work prior. They'll try and launch the company because they've seen other people be successful, but they've not done the work prior. I talk so much about one small task a day. Be patient and one small task a day. Whether that's going for you for the next job, what personal development plan do you have in place? Where even if it's not one small task a day, what's that one small task per month? You know, if you're aspiring to move into a different role within an organization, who is it that you've gone and connected with and asked them the question, what makes a brilliant X, Y, and Z in the role that you're in today? And build out a development plan so that you're at least getting insight into the process, you get an insight into what the expectations are, so that when that opportunity comes up, the glove fits the hand, rather than, I think I can do it, I can back myself because I'm very good. It's the same with launching a business. People will always see the outcome of any organization and see the overnight success. They don't see the, and this isn't everyone, I feel like I'm categorizing everyone here, but it's the work that goes in behind the scenes when no one knows, the late nights, the early mornings and everything else.
No one's
thank you for listening.
You have to dig in, you have to be relentless. But you have to have a purpose with anything that you do. But even if it's sending one email, reading one article, watching one video on YouTube to help you learn, reaching out to one connection on LinkedIn to try and get some of their time.
I really like that. I think the message there for me at least is okay, there's, you know, keep moving, keep doing the next thing. But I think the interesting bit there for me is the rhythm.
Yeah.
Picking a bit of a rhythm,
yeah.
Whether it's a day, a week, a month, depending on what you feasibly can do, based on your specific situation, and then just committing to one act, however big or small, every day or every week, and trust that starts to build up, and I think that's a really good tip for people.
Yeah, and you know what, it's there's a very small percentage of me talking around that, which is a little bit uncomfortable for me because I was doing that one small task per day while still at an incredible organization like AutoTrader. What I didn't let it do is affect my day job. So between those hours that I had to be 100% committed, I was 100% committed. But what was happening is because I had a young child at the time who was 2 going on 3, so I had to have the responsibilities as a parent. My only times to kind of do the one small task per day was from 9 till maybe 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning, where that's 6 months worth of that was starting to exhaust me. Yeah. But again, because it was so exciting going through the process.
That's where the passion comes in. You've got to be passionate about it.
Yeah.
And if you are, and I guess that's a good test. Mm-hmm. You know, if you say I'm going to do something once a week, or once a day, and you're not doing it, I guess you can question, is am I actually really interested in this idea?
And do you want to make a difference? Yeah, you know, I was like I said, this was purely, I just want to get into football. I don't care what it is, I just want to get into football. It's become so much bigger than that for me now, in terms of there's so many sports that I didn't know the detail about that I now do, that I love. So many athletes that I'm talking to, I'm like, wow, your journey. Like, even yesterday, I had a conversation with a female athlete who is a European gold medalist, jiu-jitsu gold medalist. And even just listening to her story and you know what she's done and what she's achieved and the injuries that she's had and still bounce back, you know, sometimes you think it's difficult going through that 6 months of staying up till 2 a.m. and you listen to someone talk around how they broke the leg and recovered and were walking 3 months later and back competing. It's just find what you need, find what the things that motivate you, know what your purpose is and just go, but be 100% patient in everything that you do. You don't have to change your world overnight. You don't need to be put yourself in a position where you have to quit the job to start the next one tomorrow or start the business tomorrow because you think you're onto something. Do the time, be patient, because the time goes really fast. I said right at the start of this, the first 3 months feels like 3 months ago, and we're 3 years in. It's just motored by. So being patient and one small task a day.
Yeah, nice. So Mark, I've got three last questions, quick five questions for you. So one, what book, movie, show, podcast would you recommend to people getting into business or in the early stages of business?
Wow, great question. So podcast, I listen a lot to Stephen Bartlett's Diary of a CEO. Mm. The reason I listen to that a lot, and I want to talk about two or three people that were part of my process, but what Stephen Bartlett does, which appeals to me massively, he makes my journey feel real because he's putting people under the spotlight to show vulnerability and show that, you know, people think that things are just easy and, you know, they might be incredibly wealthy or have an incredible business or whatever, but he gets under the vulnerability and that helps me just relate in terms of, no, it's just difficult, it's a challenge. That's something that I take a lot of inspiration from. Prior to that, I used to watch a video on repeat. There's a guy called E.T. Eric Thomas, based in the States. It was only one video that I used to watch, but he literally screams to an audience of athletes. I think it's the US Olympic team that he's talking about, I can, I will, I must. And he talks about, in this motivational speech, who are you doing it for?
Right.
You know, what needs to be louder in your head? The people that you care about or staying asleep. You know, your alarm and the people that you care about getting up in the morning needs to be more important than sleep. I just used to watch on repeat and I'd be like, I can, I will, I must do something about what I want to do with this idea. And Gary Vaynerchuk as well. I've consumed hours and hours of his content. And he's probably pushed me to a point where, you know, I do care what people think about me as an individual, but I don't care from a perspective of there's going to be people that will like or dislike what you're going to do. So stay focused on what you're trying to achieve. And just know that, you know, as long as you know that what you're trying to achieve is coming from the right place, kind of shut out the challenges or people that tell you can't do it. Mm. I've definitely been in situations over the years where people have told me I can't be a particular way or I can't do what I want to do or I have to operate in a particular way. I've always stuck to my guns. It makes me think back to the question that you asked around childhood and being in school and things. I used to listen, but it was like, yeah, but I'm going to do it my way, you know? It's kind of a trait that stuck with me. But yeah, Diary of a CEO, Gary V, Stephen Bartlett, they've been big inspirations of mine. And that's probably it, yeah.
What one question do you wish I'd asked today?
I think you've asked a lot of really great questions. Actually, I don't think it's one thing that I'm sat thinking, oh, he's missed this off, so I've not been able to say X, Y, and Z.
All right, we've done a good job. Last question then.
I guess the one thing that what am I motivated the most by?
Yeah, okay. And how would you have answered it?
Again, and people who've known me for a long, long time know the answer to this anyway, but I'm motivated the most by arriving into situations I never thought I'd get to. So what I mean by that is, you know, growing up and things, just trying to navigate through childhood and all of that, and then getting into a position and moving into an organisation like Auto Trader. I firstly didn't think I'd ever become a leader in Auto Trader. I did. I then never thought I'd step on a stage in front of 350 people and be mic'd up and moonwalk across the stage. I like to dance, so I took that opportunity. And I actually got a selfie on stage, which I can share with you. But as a kid that grew up on a council estate, being on a stage full of 300 people, I never thought I'd arrive in that situation. I also never thought I'd arrive in a situation where I'd have a company that has now transformed into a technology startup with this big group of people around me. And I'm still motivated by, I have no idea where this is going to take me. But yeah, I'm very much looking forward to the journey.
Yeah, nice. And so for everyone listening then, where can they find you, learn more about the business?
Yeah, easiest way to find me and kind of connect and learn more, LinkedIn. So I'm really active on, I'm active on LinkedIn. Video and podcast is next for me this year to evolve into doing more content creation. But yeah, find me on LinkedIn. We do have presence on other social channels, but yeah, that's...
Where can people find your podcast? Where's that going to be?
So that will be, it'll probably be on YouTube, it'll be on Spotify, it'll be on all the major platforms. But yeah, I'm hoping to get that off the ground in the next month or two. We've got some really great athletes lined up for that.
All right, well, follow on LinkedIn, yeah. And we'll get all the updates there.
100%.
Awesome. Yeah. Brilliant. Thanks very much, Mark.
Great stuff. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Remember to follow us on all our social media and the businesses featured in this episode.